Say, I'm going to hear everything I need to hear today. Okay, and we're going to start in 1 Peter 2. We all need to hear this. Verses 13 to 16, this is in the message out of the Message Bible. It said, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. What's going on in Compton is not respecting the government or the authorities. That's why we prayed about it. 1 Corinthians 7, King James Version. This came about, I was thinking about anniversary, the 40th anniversary of the Redeeming Love Christian Center ministry, and the, I think it's the 18th anniversary for the fellowship up here, Redeeming Love Christian Center. We used to call it at the Village, but it's just Redeeming Love Christian Center, Pocono campus. And it kind of morphed into what you're about to hear. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, King James Version. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Right away, that lets me know that no one should think, I don't know if I'm called. Because it says, let how many men? And that just, that's person. That's not just talking about gender, okay? Everybody is to abide in the same calling wherein they were called. So that should wipe away any doubts. What am I called? Was I called? Yes, you were. Yes, you are. And I looked up the word abide, and it's from the Greek word meno, which means, listen to this, to stay, to remain, to continue, to permanently abide. It gives the idea of something that lasts, something that's always there, someone that endures, and it speaks of something that has the power to last, no matter what. It also means not to depart, to continue to be present, not to perish. That means you don't give in. And it means to endure. Endure. So that's the, right away, you could see where God has said, let every man endure the same calling wherein he was called. If the calling came 30 years ago, you're to abide in it the same way you did 30 years ago. Said everyone, abide in the same calling in which you were called. It also suggests that God, he won't call you here, and now you're called over there, and now you're called over there, and now you're called. No, the same calling. Same calling. Romans 11. Verse 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Some folks may not understand what that means, so I'll read it in the Amplified Bible, the classic Amplified. It says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That means there isn't anything you can do that'll cause God to remove his calling from your life. Nothing. He said they're irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. And folks, we need to understand that. God's not going to call you and then you do something dumb and he says, forget you. He says to the Godhead, what was I thinking when I called them? No, once God calls you, now remember, we're talking about a being, we're talking about God. We're talking about the one who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, who knew and knows every single thing you're ever going to do in this life. And he called you anyway. Knowing what he knows, he called you. So there's nothing that we can ever do where God's going to say, yeah, I know I called them to this particular ministry, but I don't like the way they handle it, so I'm going to lift my call. I'll put them somewhere else. No, he doesn't treat us like corporate America. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those whom he gives his grace, but to whom he sends his call. See, it's God, he leaves things where they belong. What do I mean by that? This phone was given to me by the ministry. It's essentially my phone. The ministry is not going to tell me how to take care of it, how to watch it. This is your phone. It's my responsibility to take care of it. It's my responsibility to keep it functioning the way it was designed. It's my responsibility. It's not the ministry's responsibility. It's mine. It's my responsibility to make sure I don't drop it in a tank of water or anything like that. This was given to me. It's my responsibility. That call was given to you. It's the responsibility of you who answered the call to abide in the same calling where you were called. So that means the same gusto that you had when you were called 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 60 years ago, is the same gusto you should have for today. Because the call hasn't changed. The call hasn't changed. It's the responsibility of the recipient not to leave the call. It's the responsibility of the recipient to last, to endure, to stay present. God did his part. He called. You answered. He gave you the gifts and the grace and everything you need to complete the calling that he placed on your life. We need to know that. We need to understand it. You can find this on our webpage, you know, about the founding pastors, Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. But this is what's relevant to what we're sharing this morning. A burning commitment to follow and to please God was the motivation that stirred Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to answer the call of God on their lives. They knew they had a call, but a commitment to follow and please God was the motivating factor for them to accept the call. And it's the same way with us now. I don't particularly like the call God placed on my life. I wouldn't have put it on my life. But then I'm not God. But I said yes. So now everything that goes along with that call still requires a yes. I could have said no. Did anyone ever not answer the call? Yeah, you have the option. Just like if your telephone rings, if you don't like, you look at the caller ID and see who's calling. I don't want to hear from him or her. You don't answer the call. The same thing. God may tell you to do something and you say, I'm not led to do that. Nice Christian phrase that we think will get God to leave us alone. God didn't say do this if you're led to. If I'm calling you, guess what? I'm leading you. It says their obedience to the call. Understand what they had to do. Their obedience to the call resulted in them making a life-changing decision in 1979 to leave successful careers, home, and family in order to attend Rhema Bible Training Center. And more importantly, their obedience resulted in countless souls, bodies, marriages, and lives being changed for the good by the power of God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the Utterbox had committed to their lives to proclaim. Here's what we need to understand about being called. What we do is we know God called us, but this is the way we want to live our life. So we take God's calling and try and fit it into our life. Guess what? It don't work. What we're supposed to do is take our lives and fit it into the calling. Take our lives. I like to do this. I enjoy doing that. I stick it in to the calling. And you're going to find something out. You know what you're going to find out? That some of your life ain't going to fit. What are you supposed to do with that part? Keep it on the shelf until the calling ends and then go back to it? No, if it don't fit, you let it drop off. Because it's about the call, not your preference. I have preferences. Believe me, I have preferences. But I can't always go with my preference. Because if it's going to interfere with the call, then no matter how strong my preference is, I'm going to have to let it go if I'm going to be true to what I'm called to do. And if I'm not true to what I'm called to do, whatever I'm doing is going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. God gave Clinton and Sarah Utterbach worldwide ministry. Over 50-plus churches grew out of here, and we don't know how many have grown out of those. It's just a cycle that just keeps going. And all that mattered to them was they were called to pastor. All that mattered to them was they were to abide in the same calling wherewith they were called. And all that mattered to them was the understanding that the gifts and their calling were irrevocable. They said yes. That was it. It was done. And the funny part about it, when you hear Pastor Sarah talk about it, she'll tell you in a minute, she said the Holy Ghost told her that she and Pastor Clinton were not God's first choice. So that means God called someone who said no. And he knew they were going to say no. Now, they didn't say, all they said was they were not God's first choice. They might have been the 50th choice. We don't know. And none of it matters. All that matters is they were called. They answered the call. God gave them what they needed to fulfill the calling on their lives. And he'll do the same thing for you. And you need to understand that once God calls, he doesn't, like I used to say growing up, no backsies. You know, he doesn't take it back once he calls you. You're called. Don't say hallelujah. Say something. It sounds like you're sad about this. Don't get be sad because you're called. My God. Just thinking about it. Well, think about what you know about you. Not what people say about you. Think about what you know about you. God called you anyway. Think about all the stuff that you've done and all the things that you might do in the future. God's not pulling his calling away from you. He's not. So how long do I keep this calling? Until your last breath. First time I realized that, I was hearing people say, I believe my season is over. And it sounds so spiritual when you hear it. You know, I've been serving in this position now for 15 years, and I think it's time for me to move on. I'm sure God has someone else ready to move in. After all, you have to make room for the younger generation. And I'm not saying that you don't. But I haven't found one scripture to support that. I haven't found one where someone was called by God and they decided their season was over. They decided they were going to step away. They decided, I need to take a leave of absence. I haven't found one, and I've been looking hard. You know why? Because I want to use it when I find it. But I haven't found one. What I see is where people say they live to a ripe old age. They live to this time. They live to this age. They live, and then they went to sleep with their fathers, or they went on to heaven, or they did what they were told to do until they died. And we need to be prepared to stick with it until we leave this planet. We have to understand that the gifts and the call are irrevocable. And that the call on your life did not change. Whatever you were when you were called by God to do is what you should be abiding in right now. Still. And I'll tell you something. As we are obedient to the call, you'll start seeing more souls coming into the building. Why? Folks are operating in obedience. You going out and doing what you're supposed to do will cause people to want to come to Christ. Now, most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the account of Adam and Eve. You know, God told them, you got all these trees. Don't eat from this one tree. That's like us saying, you have all these chairs in here. All these chairs where you can sit. Everyone is comfortable. Don't sit in this one. And everyone will come in and they say, I got to sit in that chair. What is it about that chair that God doesn't want me to experience? And they were convinced. Invest in the other pair, the double earpiece. Big as these ears are, you think it would stay on. But Adam and Eve listening to the messenger of Satan decided to step away from their call. Because they were called to dress the garden and to keep it. They didn't abide in the calling. And so they ate from the fruit that God said, don't eat. People say apple. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple. It says fruit. Right? So don't get hung up thinking whether it's the apple or peach or whatever it is. But God asked Adam some questions. When he came walking in the garden in Genesis 3:8, the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Now, how many of you know that God knew exactly where they were? You know, he wasn't saying, I can't find you, where are you? He was doing something else. And Adam answered, I heard you, and listen to what Adam said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he being God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? See, God asked Adam three questions, and I'm going to couch them to you this way because this is the way it was given. The Holy Ghost gave it to me. Adam, where are you in relationship to your calling? Where are you? Are you following my instructions? Who told you I was no longer covering you? See, it says, who told you you were naked? Naked means uncovered. So God said, who told you that I'm not covering you? Who told you that? Physically, he knew exactly where Adam was, but he was asking Adam to locate himself spiritually because Adam was not where he usually was, doing what he usually did. He had moved away from the call because now his intention is, his focus is, he's distracted. One of the things the devil wants us to think is that you're either too young or too old to be called by God. Or if you were called when you're young, you've outlived your usefulness. Well, that's a lie. And these three questions apply to you. Where are you in relationship to the calling God placed on your life? And I know what some are thinking. I don't know what the calling is on my life. Well, you start out in Mark 16. You start out going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's even another place to start. You start out receiving Christ as your Savior, which probably everybody in here has done. Second thing you do is you join a Bible teaching church, which most of you have done. The next thing you do is you get busy in the church. What does that mean? You get busy volunteering. Where? Wherever. Why? In that, your calling will be revealed. As you're moving around, your calling will be revealed. I did not, when God told me to join the youth department, I did not want to. I did not know it was preparation for pastoring. I thought it was punishment. And it's not like I didn't like children. I didn't particularly care to hang out with teenagers. And the only reason, I felt they had a mind of their own. Because I used to be a teenager, I had a mind of my own. So I liked ages 6 to 10. They listen, you know, they don't need a lot to be entertained. And whatever you tell them, they just go and do it. They think they can do anything, and I like that part. But God said, join the youth department. So I said, well, oh, he just wants me to serve, so I joined the host and made a mess of my life because I wasn't called to be a host. I didn't have the grace to be a host. So I had to stop being a host and join the youth department. And I was in the youth department for about 18 years. So a lot of them, right, just grow up, right, Josh? It was some of the best times that I've had with our young people, watching them develop, watching them answer questions and just move into what they were called to do. But God said, well, I'll say it this way. What does all mean, A-L-L? It's not a trick question. What does it mean? Is there anything left out of all? Are we sure about that? There are no exceptions to all. No exceptions, right? Go to Romans 8. King James Version. Verse 28. And we know that, what's that word? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many things work together for good? All things work together for good. Let's think about what that statement means. I'm going to share it and listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. The New Life Version says we know that God makes all things work together for good. Now, think about that statement. God causes all things. He makes all things. He works all things together for what? What did I just read? He works them together, say it loud, for good. How many things does he work together? Now think about this. Do you think all things just mean the things that are for you? He said all things. There's nothing left out of all, right? Were you sure about that? So that means people who don't like you have to work together for your good. They're part of all things. Stuff the devil has planned for you has to work together for your good. Because God said he will cause all things. That's why no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because the weapon is formed to stop you from your calling. And God said, I'm going to cause everything to work together for your good. Everything. Doesn't matter if the person is for you or against you. They're going to have to work together for your good. I remember once someone came by the church, was an invited guest. And they were sharing how, you know, some people would write nasty letters and, you know, say different things. And they never responded. They never walked out of love because they realized they were called to walk in love and that God works all things together for his good. And he said what he found out was he received a letter from someone who told him, I mean, as they would say, told him about himself. Went up one side, down the other, and included in there a check $400. And he said, all this means is that people who don't like me have to give to me. Because God works all things together. It's important that we understand that because when you leave here, the enemy's going to come up with 6,852 reasons why you're no longer called or why the calling on you is not going to work. Whatever those things, whatever those forces, whoever those people may be, God is going to cause them to work together for your good. Because you love them, and because you're called according to the purpose, and that's a very big part of it. The reason he works everything together for your good is you're stayed on course. You're abiding in the calling. If you're not abiding in the calling, he doesn't withdraw it, but he doesn't have to work everything together for your good. And what always happens, always, things that you've confessed you don't like, things that you've said, nobody better ever do this to me, things that I'm not going to allow anybody to do this to me again, all of those types of things are going to seem to keep happening. Because you keep speaking them into your life instead of saying, I don't care what they did or what they said, God is going to work all of that together for my good, so I'm going to keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. And he'll work everything out. He will work everything out. How do I know that? He said so. He said all things. When you think about all things, does it include your enemies? Does it include your friends? Does it include the devil? So it doesn't matter what it is, right? But God is going, everything in your life, God's going to cause to work together for your good. Everything in your life. I don't have to do nothing, though. There's something you have to do. 2 Peter 1. I'm going to share this from in the Amplified, the regular Amplified, not the classic. It says, for this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promise, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge. That's insight and understanding. And in moral excellence, knowledge and insight and understanding. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, steadfastness. In your steadfastness, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly affection. In your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit. Now, wait a minute, God. I'm supposed to do things for the benefit of people who don't do things for my benefit? They do things for your benefit, you just don't know it. Because first of all, you don't want to see it. Because if you see it, you have to change your opinion about the person. But God, we just read what God said. He makes all things work together for your good. So even that contrary person that gets on your last nerve, if you stay steady, God will cause them to start working together for your good. And when they start working together for your good, it's going to make it easier for you to fulfill your calling. For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow toward spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus. For whoever lacks these qualities, whoever chooses not to take on these qualities, is blind, short-sighted, closing his or her spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that he or she was cleansed from his or her old sins. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. And remember this, I'm going to close, but I want you to remember this. Romans 8, verses 29 to 31 in the King James Version. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He also did predestinate. He had holy plans for us. Prophet to the nations, that's what he had in store for us. to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, whom he designated before they were born, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Means made them right, in right standing. And to whom he justified, them he also glorified. And here's why he did that. What shall we then say to these things? What do you say when stuff comes against you? What do you say? If God be for us, who can be against us? I got a better understanding of that scripture when I understood God works all things together for my good. The reason I can say since God is for me, who can be against me, is because anybody that's against me has to work together for my good. So even though they think they're against me, they're helping me out. Yeah, is it? That's great news, Ralph. So we don't have to get all... That should cause us to stop getting bent out of shape when folks do stuff. Dumb stuff. Stupid stuff. Mean stuff. Mean-spirited stuff. Who cares? You should smile when that happens. You should stand there thinking about it. You smile, start bouncing. Yeah, I wonder what their part in my good is. But they don't know it, but they're going to have to work together for my good. I don't care what name they called me. They're going to have to work together for my good. I don't care what their political views are, their social views. I don't care. If they fall under the category of thing, they have to work together for my good. And there isn't anything that doesn't fall under the category of being a thing. Anything that ever is or was is a thing. And we already agreed that all means nothing left out. So all things God will cause to work together for my good because I love him and I am the called. I said, okay, God, what's the difference between called and the called? He gave me a very simple answer because he knows I like things simple. I don't like complicated things. He said, I called, you became the called when you answered. So, how many of you have received Christ as Savior? You're now the called. When you said yes, you became the called. See, when the invitation is given, you're being called. We're asking, do you want to receive Christ? You're being called. You say yes, you receive Christ, you are now the called, according to his purpose. So the calling on your life is not over. And I know that to be truth because God said he never withdraws the calling or the gifts. I watch movies. I have my preferences. But I really like any movie that has a good plot and a lot of principles. And I like Star Wars. I don't like all of them. I like most of them. I thought Solo was kind of dumb, but that was just my opinion. But one thing I started thinking about was the Jedi had what they call a quote-unquote an old Jedi mind trick where they would say something and the individual would repeat it and then do it. You know you can't come in. Said, you will open the door and let me in. I'll open the door and let you in. You'll unlock my hand, unlock my cuffs and leave your weapons on the floor. I'll unlock the cuffs and leave your weapon on the floor. But it didn't work when you were talking to Darth Vader. It didn't work when you were talking to Count Dooku. It didn't work when you were talking to General Grievous. It didn't work with Jabba the Hutt. Why? Because they had developed their thinking. They had developed their mind where they knew what voice they were listening to. And they tell you, those mind tricks don't work on me. They knew who they were. And the mind tricks didn't work on the Jedi. You know why? They knew who they were. So why are they working on us? We have to know who we are. Jesus said something that's key to all of this. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will run from. Now, we all agree the devil's busy. He's saying a lot of stuff. So when I look out the window, how come I don't see people running? Because the voice isn't strange. So since we're going to fulfill our calling, we're going to have to do a better job filtering out voices and tuning ourselves to only hear the voice of our Savior. And I know it's possible, just from my own life, playing basketball, I told you this before, when I first started playing in big arenas, I would get blown away by the size of the arena, the cheers of the people, and it was just messing with me. And my coach is screaming, what's the matter with you? And I'm not hearing him. And then I look up at the scoreboard, and I see how far behind we are, and something happened. And I said, wait a minute. And I said to the coach, I said, I got it. And I learned how to filter out. I heard my teammate's voice. I mean, you know what's embarrassing? You make a great play and you steal the ball. And someone says, right here, Foots, and you give it to him and it's a member of the other team. And you just stand there. No, I had to learn that in the heat of the moment, to only hear the voice of my teammates or my coach. If I did something I thought was spectacular, I didn't hear the crowd. If it happened in the last 2 minutes of the game and it was just to put an exclamation point, I heard that. But I didn't. I learned how to only hear my coach's voice and my teammate's voice. I didn't hear anything else. Guys, right here, Foots, right here. I don't know that voice. Don't even look in that direction. I looked over there, okay, there's Tiny. Give the ball to him. He's on my team. Stop listening to the voice of folks that are not on your team. And I can tell you, the devil is not on your team. And the only way you're going to do that is spending time reading what the word says, meditating on what the word says, thinking about what the word says. Things will happen and you'll know right away. That's not what the word says. So I'm not doing it. And the devil's mind tricks won't work on you because you know and you have confidence that God, who's deeply concerned about you, will cause all things to work together as part of his plan for your good to those who love God, to those who are the called, according to his plan and purposes. You've been called, you answered the call will never leave you, and you will never be released from that call until God decides that call is satisfied. Until then, you do just what the Apostle Paul did. Forget those things that are behind. Forget your former accomplishments, your former failures. Anything that falls on the category of being behind in the past, forget it. Forget about it. And press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. What's the high calling? Whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. Press towards that. When will I know it's over? You'll see the face of your Savior. And if your calling changes in that process, God will make sure you know. But meanwhile, as long as you stay in your calling, you'll experience all things working together for your good. How many of you want that? You want all things working together for your good? Boy, I'm surprised that's not everybody. Okay, well, some of you will have it and some of you won't. No, I know you're just being shy. How many of you want all things to work together for your good? If you want to raise your hand, say amen. Okay. Good, because we're going to stay here until I heard all of that. I already asked if there was anyone in here that had not received Jesus Christ, and I didn't see any hands, so I'm not going to do an altar call. But I am going to ask you to make a confession. Just turn to someone and look at them. You don't have to go over to them. And tell them there's a calling on your life. Accept it and know that God is never going to take it back. But what he will do is make sure everything associated with you and your call, God will cause to work together for your absolute good. Amen. I mean, do you believe that? Father, thank you for the word that you've given us this morning. Thank you, Father, that it came through clearly and that the people understand that they're called. There's a calling on their life. And that you'll make everything concerning their life work together for their good. Work together so that they can fulfill the calling that's on their life. Those that are not sure, Lord, we thank you for making it clear to them exactly what their calling is. And Father, I thank you that once it's clear to them, they will take their lives and put it into the calling. And any part of their lives that doesn't fit, they'll let drop off. I thank you, Lord, that you love them with an everlasting love. And that you care for them and you want the very best for them. And you've given us assurance that we have your very best. All things you cause to work together for our good. So we can stand and declare, since you are for us, nothing, nobody can be against us. And we give you all glory, honor, and praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I thought I was going to share some other scriptures with you, but I shared the ones that God said. Please do your own. I'm an advocate of one doing their own research. Read the scriptures. You know, that we shared, read them in as many translations as you can find, read them in commentaries, get the understanding of it. That's what I had to do. I wanted to know, what is this works all things together for my good? I needed to know. What do you mean the gifts and callings are without repentance? I needed to know what that meant. Because I know me. And if there were reasons to take the call back, I probably gave them to God. I'm just being honest with you. So I needed to know what the scripture meant. Now, when I found out that there isn't anything I can do that can cause God to take it back, that doesn't give me a license. But it gave me a confidence that if I did miss it, my Father will not abandon me. And if you miss it, he won't abandon you either. And he wants us to know that and to live our lives with that understanding. And I'm going to turn the ignition to off because I'll get started again because this is a 3 or 4 part message that was kind of consolidated into one so I can get as much into you today as I could. But as I talk, more keeps coming up and I don't want to keep you here any longer than we're supposed to. Amen.